Teamwork is the basis of success for nations and for countries, individually, for groups, for sport games and things like that. It's teamwork. But a team without exquisite players is not much of a team. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, bringing you instant inspiration. The statement is made, geese flying in their V formation create an uplift for the birds that follow, giving the flock 70% greater flying range than a single goose flying alone. When geese fly in formation, they can go 70 miles, whereas when a goose flies alone, he can only fly 30 miles. Geese flying in their V formation create an uplift for the birds that follow, giving the flock 70% greater flying range than flying single. Now, this is a very interesting statement. Obviously, it is proven by experimentation and observation and so forth. But we all say, now, isn't that wonderful? The flock works together harmoniously. The birds alone could do only 30% of what they can do as a flock. And you look at all the nations of the world, wonderful as these nations may be, they allowed the travesties to go on in Iraq, the inhumanity to man and in other nations, and do nothing about it, even though they belong to the United Nations and are supposed to do something. And until one man who had a dedication to the freedom of people took over, the slaves were not freed. Now, Herb, you're switching topics there. Yes, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. He freed the slaves, and a lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people didn't like that at all. But it was one of the most noble things that had been done virtually in the history of mankind. Now, it is true he did not do that alone, although he was the spearhead. He was the person who went forth. And President Bush, he didn't go in and invade Iraq all by himself, but he is the one who brought forth the manifesto to do it. He told the American army and the United Nations, and he was joined by Britain and Turkey and a few other places, to go in and stop this nonsense, that they are a travesty to the world, how they are treating mankind. Well, now, it takes one man like George Bush. It takes one man like Abraham Lincoln. It takes one man like George Washington. I'm naming presidents, of course, and it's easy to do that. But it takes one person. Now, let's look at the teams, the sport teams. Why does a sport team have a leader? Why do they have a captain? Why do they have someone that they look up to, someone that they respect? Because if without someone to guide them, lead them, and direct them into making all the moves that they know how to do so well, they wouldn't win. So we are all saying that it's wonderful the flock as a flock can fly so far with the uplift of the whole flock being beneficial to the few that might be weak. Well, where are you in this here? Are you a leader or are you a follower? Now, you don't have to be a leader. Leaders are wonderful. Leaders are very dominant, dynamic, forceful people who are very beneficial for the world. And yet, if those leaders weren't there, somebody else would come along and do something similar, but not the same, and bring good to the world. And perhaps the world might lie in repose for a number of centuries before somebody really came along and changed it. How many Marco Polos have we had? How many Anthony's the Great have we had? You know, Alexander the Great's. How many of them have we had? And we talk about them, and we defame their character, and we say they were this. They were leaders. They were leaders. And they were men of dignity and integrity and charm and vivacity. They were men who led their nations and who led their armies to conquer great things. And this is something throughout all of history. There will always be these great leaders. Now, these great leaders may not be inspired for the best of the people. They may be inspired for the best of their own attitude. And so therefore they build up a great force behind them and a great empire behind them. These empires are not only ones that we have at our fingertips, but there are many another too. And why was the Great Wall of China built? Can you imagine building that wall through China, through that arid country where there's no water, there's no nothing, and yet over a period of several thousand years that wall was built? And the wall was breached as easily as the Mexican border here is breached. The Mexican border for years had nothing but a little barbed wire fence that people could walk right through it. And then they built a higher barbed wire fence. And as they built the higher barbed wire fence, people walked right through it. And then they built great big steel plates up there. And they just walked through the holes between the steel plates. When someone is interested in coming to another country, of getting through the barricade, whether it's the Great Wall of China or whether it's the border, the Mexican border here, they're going to make it. They're going to make it. Now, if they want to do damaging things, then of course all the forces will be brought out to stop that from happening. And that can happen. We could hire men to man our border who were standing 2 feet apart from each other, have a ring of men standing along the border, and there would be no trespassing through that border. And then helicopters flying up and down above them, and there would be no way. Now, if they really wanted to stop it, they could. They could. But I would recommend to them that they don't stop it. They just legalize it. And they have ports of entry where people could come through, and they issue green cards to them right away when they come into the country. Put them under responsibility for citizenship, not necessarily citizenship, but put them under responsibility for their duties to this country that they're coming to work in, you know. Now, the moment you legalize something, you can control it. When you don't legalize it, then you can't control it. Because this has happened historically with liquor, with prostitution, with everything else under the sun. All these things, and I tell you, liquor and prostitution are as big as emigration coming through, people wanting to find a better life. Now, if we have leaders, and these leaders really want to do something beneficial, rather than being against something, they'll be for something. These people here are going to come into the country one way or another. If we can be at the border and greet them and sign them up, take their picture, take their fingerprints, take everything, why, it'd be ideal. Mm-hmm. It'd be ideal. We would have total control over that, and then after so many months or years, they can apply for citizenship if that's their desire, and that's great. Now, a lot of people aren't going to want to do that. I don't want to have my fingerprints taken. I don't want to have my picture taken. Well, then we don't want you in our country either, you know? And so then they would get their fingerprints anyhow, and if they ever came in the country, they would just run them through the registry and find out that they were not properly here. But the moment you agree with your adversary, then the adversary ceases to be an adversary. The moment you agree with the terrorists and you say, yes, you're right, it does appear the United States is taking over these things, and then the terrorists say, well, okay, you agree with me. There's no reason for me to be a terrorist anymore. I mean, I can't frighten you. You've already been assured of yourself. You see, if you agree with your adversary quickly, you immediately have absolute control. Mm-hmm. And your adversary doesn't know that because he expects you to fight. Mm-hmm. Now, in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, It was an excellent movie in almost every way. But when Mr. Smith, by being so naively stupid and allowing himself to be photographed in ungainly positions and knowing that they're out to pick on him, and he knew that was, and his secretary had told him that. And then the next day when he heard that that was done and they made such a silly fool out of him, which he made out of himself, then he went out and he made a bigger fool by knocking these reporters in the nose for doing what they did. And that's what they're supposed to do. Those reporters are supposed to go out and see how silly they can make our legislators and senators act. And if they're going to act silly and so forth, they don't deserve to be there. I mean, as they said, that's the highest office of the land. Not the presidency, of course, is the higher, but of the Senate that's right up there. Now, you can't have people who are so naive. Now, if he had been tricked into doing something, if he had been tricked into making those faces or something like that, and then instead of being angry, he would say, yes, they tricked me into doing that, and I made a fool of myself, and I stand up for that. What a masterful man we would have had. But for him to go out like a gorilla and hit those people who did their jobs, it's totally unacceptable. You see, even in such a noble, beautiful, fabulously done movie, they had to have this this inaccuracy in there, because I cannot conceive of him being the man of integrity and the man of caring about boys to go out and lose his temper. Exactly. And lose his temper. That's just what he did. And it's you see, they wrote that into the script there, and someone made a big mistake.
Yes.
A big mistake. But it has come down through the years, and people overlook the mistake because they feel that self-righteousness, that you shouldn't have done that to our special boy, you know, our innocent child. Well, innocent children have to be responsible for themselves too. They can be innocent and they can be wonderful, but they also have to be responsible. Now, was Pollyanna responsible?
Mm-hmm.
You bet she was. Was she an innocent child?
Mm-hmm.
You bet. Did she stand up for what she had to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she did. And sometimes, and even standing up, she didn't hurt anybody else or make a fool of anybody else, not even herself. So when we have teams, which are wonderful, you always will have leaders. And when you consider whether you're going to be a leader or not, whether you're going to be a leader of your team, whether you're going to really take control or not, means just one thing. You better find out who is on your team. You better know what is the goal of your team. What is the purpose of your team? What is the ideal of your team? Who makes up your team? And now we answer that question with one statement. You. You are the only one who makes up that team. Like Harry Truman, our president, said, the buck stops here. Whenever there's a problem, it stops at my desk, and I must make a decision. And I may have advisors who offer me suggestions, but they cannot make the decision. My advisor told me to do it. Him. He told me to do it. He's the one who told me to do that. Well, you're not a leader. You're not a leader. You don't even say who your advisors are. You don't even say what they have said to you. You don't even say that they pleaded with you not to do it, you know, or that they pleaded with you to do it. But whatever the case may be, you made the decision. And so whatever that flock is, I can guarantee you one thing. The leader of the flock of geese flies in front. And if the flock were not behind him, it would make no difference to him. He would still fly the 70%. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in front and he does not have the lift of the rest of the flock to support him.
Mm-hmm.
He gives his support to those following him and subsequently to those following them. Yeah, and so the leader does not have any support from anybody. He has to stand out in front. He has to make judgments. He has to decide where the winds are, that they are going to fly above or below, and where we can find a wind that's going our direction, and all these other good things. They know. And then they have to know where they're going to settle for the night, because flocks don't fly night and day. They settle down somewhere in a nice field at night that has a lot of grain that's available to them. And this is something that we don't always pay attention to. Geese flying in their V formation create an uplift for birds that follow, giving the flock 70% greater flying range than flying single. Well, let us just presume that all the geese are leaders. How far would they fly then? They would fly however many leaders there were times 70, and that would be their range and their distance. So don't worry about having the flock give you a lift along the way. Don't worry about someone supporting you and encouraging you on your way in life. Be the leader that you are, and you guide others. And if others want to follow, fine. And if others don't want to follow, fine. But you live your life in such a noble way that it doesn't matter whether you have followers or not. And they will be there. I love you. Have a nice evening.